Walking around this morning, I saw a lot of visitors. It's good to have you with us. If you have one of them blue cards, go ahead and fill them out so we can write you a card. Thank you for coming. Get to know you a little bit better. If you're looking for a church home, I can promise you Highland Heights is the place to be. You ain't going to find a better loving group of people that has your back and wants to get to heaven. And so we hope that you stick around after services and let us get to know you better and get to talk to you. I am excited for Keith and Anna to join us. I think it's going to be a great fit here in Highland Heights. And I'm really excited about it. And I'm looking forward to the future of Highland Heights and what he can bring here to assist us in growing. This morning, I want us to look at a topic called I Am Second. I was walking around and I saw a guy's bracelet and it said, I Am Second. And I said, what does that bracelet mean? And he said, it means I Am Second. And I said, I understand what it says. I'm asking you, what does it mean? And he says, it reminds me that God is first and I am second. And when I go throughout life, as high as I get in life and as tall as I get in life, and as successful as I get in life, this reminds me that I am second. Got me thinking, I am second. And so I wanted to do something this morning about the topic, I am second. When we go throughout life, though, the standard in going through life is that we want to be first. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to be first, right? Young people, I know I'm not going to name you all off, but I know you guys practice for sports, right? You get up, you do these trainings, you do these conditionings, you go to the workouts, you do all these things. You don't do all that to become second. You do all that because you want that first place trophy. So in life, there's times when it's okay to be first. In the workplace, you may want to be first. In the sporting event, you may want to be first, and that's okay. But here's what I want to ask us this morning is that when we go throughout our life and we have a I am first mentality, right, and we think to ourselves, how can I reach to the next level? Nothing wrong with that. But at what point do we say I am second? And that's something that got me thinking. I wrote this message because I was thinking about this in a way in my life. I said, in what regard am I second? And what can I work on to become I am more second? And so these are some things that I want to look at this morning. We're going to look at some examples of being a servant in the Bible. And then we're going to close out with six attributes or six qualities to help us look at to become a true servant leader. And so I hope that this lesson will be beneficial to you this morning. Notice that Isaiah describes the Messiah as a servant. This was before Christ came, 740-some years, Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 through 4. He says, this is my servant. I will strengthen him. This is my chosen one. I delight in him. I have put my spirit on him. He will bring justice to the nations. He will not cry out or shout or make his voice heard in the streets. Not only does Isaiah prophesy of this, but also Jesus himself describes himself as a servant. Notice Mark chapter 10, verse number 45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And this is something that I want us to notice, and we're going to notice this here again in a minute. When we look at these examples, you cannot get more high than Jesus. Jesus was at the top. And when we look at these things and we see that the example that he left for us, for him to say, I did not come to be served. Yes, I am at the top. Yes, I am the Christ. And did he ever say that? No. Did he ever walk around puffing out his chest saying, I am the best? No. But the Bible says, I am the beginning and the end. I am the first and the last. And so we understand that he is the first. But he had an I am second mentality. He says, I did not come to be served, but I came to serve other people. I came to be a servant to those around me. The Bible says in Luke 19:10, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. That was a servant, I am second mentality. And he had this thought process the whole time while he's here on earth. I am second. Notice with me John chapter 6 and verse number 38. I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. Again, I am second. Luke 22:27. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table, but I am among you as one who serves? A real servant leader, notice, does not seek service for themselves, aims to serve others, does not propose to do his own will, and does not promote himself. So something before I move on, I want us to notice is that the message that we're talking about this morning from God's word is going to apply to everyone in this building. Here's why. Young people, you are going to want to grow up in a way, you are going to nurture yourself in the admonition of the Lord to be a servant. That's your goal. When we look at our life and how we're going to model our lives after, we want to model our lives after Jesus. Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And we try to do the same thing. Are we going to be perfect? No. But throughout our life, we are going to want to have a servant attitude. We are going to want to have a, what can I do to serve others in my life? I'm not going to say older people, but elderly people, we can say this. I will say this, church, is that when you are, when you think to yourself, well, I've served, I've been through my time serving. Young people are looking up to you as an example of how they should conduct themselves in serving the Lord. I'm going to say this, young people. I have two young, I won't say their names because I promised I wouldn't. I have two girls, and I will say this. They started to do the whole makeup and hair thing and the whole nails thing. And I asked them, I said, where did this come from? And they said, well, the older girls at church do it. And it happens in that little regard. But I will tell you this. They're watching, and they're looking at you as an example of how they want to conduct themselves. And so we ask ourselves, am I serving the way that God would want me to serve? And am I presenting myself, and am I having the mentality that I'm not first, I am second in the church, in my life, in the workplace, and the things in which I conduct myself throughout the day? Notice John chapter 13. Jesus shows himself as a servant in his teaching, in his actions. This is John chapter 13. Now, it is before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world. It's right before he's about to go to the cross. And he goes and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them even unto the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Now, I want us to understand something about this text. Jesus knows that he is about to do this, what we're going to get into here in a minute. He's about to conduct this knowing that someone is about to betray him and that his buddy's about to give him up. And so even when he realizes that they don't have his best interest at heart, he still comes through with the I am second, I'm going to serve you mentality. He says, Jesus knew that the Father had put all the things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. Now notice, so he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. And this is something that I want us to notice with one another. This is Jesus doing this act. And Jesus, if we think about this, is at the top, according to across the land, but especially in this setting. He's sitting there with his disciples, and Jesus is at the top of this in seniority and authority and all these other things. And Jesus takes his towel, and he wraps it around his waist. Now, in Bible times, when someone does this, this was the job of the lowest household servant slave. The lowest job you can possibly have as a household servant. This was it when you washed the feet. And Jesus conducts himself and takes on that role of the lowest servant, realizing, I'm not better than you. I'm not greater than you. Was he? Absolutely. Was he perfect? Yes. Am I perfect? No. But Jesus did not have that mentality. Jesus came and says, I'm going to show you that even though you're going to have these gifts and you're going to have these wonders and you are going to go around preaching people about my life and bringing them to the Christ, that you have still got to humble yourself, have a humility attitude, and that you have to do what a servant would want to do. Notice what he says here. After that, verse 5, he poured the water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. People say, well, this was just an example of how to wash the feet. No, it's not. This is an example of how to be a servant and how to have humility in your life. Jesus gets down and he says, I am going to show you an example that you can do to other people. You're going to wash the feet. Notice what he says. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus said, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. What's Jesus doing? Leaving them an example. Right now they don't get that. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then Lord Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my head and my hands also. Peter wants a bath. He says, those who have had a bath need not only to wash their feet, their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you. Why? Because he knew that they were about to betray him. And that's why he said, not every one of you is clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on the clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? Remember, this was Jesus asking the question, do you understand what I have done for you? Do you understand the thought process behind what I have just conducted for you to do? Now that I, the Lord, your teacher, have washed your feet, notice, you also should wash one another's feet. Why? Because I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Verily, verily, I say to you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. And so Jesus comes and conducts this common household slave, and people are and they're looking at him going, why is he washing our feet? And Jesus says, you don't understand what I'm doing for you right now, but you're going to understand this. What was he getting at? In order for you to be an example to those around you, when they see you, now servants, leaders, those who are in the leadership role, those who are elders, deacons, or wanting to be that, we ask ourselves, what is my example? And he says, to be a servant, you must conduct yourself with an I am second mentality. You must conduct yourselves with an I am second thought process, that there is ones above me in whom I am going to serve. We'll get more into that when we get into the characteristics. Many people in this life do not really accept the thought process of becoming a servant. They think of it in a certain way, and they think of it as in a negative sense when Jesus says, you are to serve, and you are to be you are to serve those around you. Notice with us this morning the six qualities. This is going to be the bulk of our message this morning. I wanted to show us the Bible's attitude of Jesus coming to this world being a servant. And then these are six things that we can possess in our life to be a true servant leader. There's not only six, but these are the six that came up. Number one, integrity. Notice Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 3. To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Proverbs 21 and verse 3 says here is a reminder that Jesus called us to walk in the ways of righteousness and justice, and our actions should reflect our faith. Doing things in an honest way. If we are a true servant leader, if we are going throughout this life, whether we are one now, a leader, or we want to be a leader and we're striving towards that position, we think to ourselves, if we cheat our way, if we lie our way, this is in the church or in the workplace, if we cheat or lie or we manipulate our way to the top, no one is going to follow your example. No one is going to follow us, and so integrity is so important when we think of this. When we look at this quality in life, having the integrity of those around you, and they look at you and say, that man has integrity, or that woman has integrity. We are called to do something which is way different than what we are taught to do in the world in which we live, and that is to be honest. In the workplace, I don't know about all workplaces, but I know in most workplaces, there is always someone who tries to lie, cheat, and manipulate their way to get to the top of the ladder. It just seems like that's the common thing. And then they get to the top, and then the ones underneath them don't understand. They say, how did he get there? When I was working for a place here in Nashville, I was putting in fiber optic cable, and there was this guy that got hired on, and he was just, I mean, he just a shovel hand. He was just a laborer, and didn't have any experience. And about 3 months later, he's one of the supervisors. And all of us thought, how in the world is this guy a supervisor already? And so, come to find out, the whole time that he was training, he was getting information from us. He would say, hey, how are we going to do this? And then we would tell him how we're going to do it. He'd go to the boss and say, this is how I think we should do this. And he manipulated his way to the top. And then when he got to the top, he soon realized he didn't know what he needed to know to run the job. And then he would try to come back to the ones in the field and say, hey, what do you think we should do? And he said, and everyone in the field said, I'm not going to help you now. He didn't have the integrity. He wasn't honest. He didn't give credit where credit was due. And so when we look at our life and we look at in the church or also in the personal lives, integrity is a very good quality to have in being a true servant leader. Number two this morning, humility. If we want to be a true servant leader, we got to be humble. Notice Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 12. Since God chose you to be holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. One of the most difficult things to do in life is to admit to ourselves and to others that we do not know it all. This is hard for Jake. It's hard for me to admit that I don't know it all. For some reason, I don't know if it's a guy thing. I can't speak for women, but I'm going to speak for the guys because I think most of us are like me. I just have an attitude that I can fix it all. I remember the girls got a swing set, and I told Anna, I was like, I don't need the instructions. I'll figure it out. And then when we got done, the slide was up in the air. I don't think that was right, but that's just we have that attitude that we know it all and that we can figure all things out. And when we look at this, sometimes we need to realize, you know what? I don't know it all. I was reading a book by Truett Cathy, and he said these words. He said, a true leader, hold on, I don't want to misquote him. He said, a true leader is only as successful as the one that who he leans on. And what he's getting at by saying is, he is successful, but he is only successful because he leans on those who have strengths where he has weaknesses. And sometimes in life, when we look at our position as a leader, we think to ourselves, I'm in this position, I know it all, and if I show weakness, then they're not going to see me as their leader. They're going to see me as weak. And that happens. And then we think that we know it all, and we think that we have it all figured together, and then we make ourselves look silly because we didn't ask for help in our weakest points. True leaders will come together and say, what do you think about this? When we do a project, I'll call in everyone into the office, even the ones who are just out in the yard cleaning up. We'll pull them in the office. We'll say, hey, here's the deal. This is what we're thinking about doing. What do you think? And a lot of times, the ones that you would never expect to have the good answers surprise you, and you say, okay, yeah, that's a good idea. We have, as servant leaders, we have got to have the mentality and the thought process that, you know what, I don't know it all. I don't have all the answers. But I'm going to lean on those who do have all the answers. Steve Harvey said in his book, Steve Harvey became a Christian, and he wrote a book about how he was lost in the world. He didn't understand his purpose. He didn't understand his drive. He didn't really know why he was doing what he was doing. So he became a Christian, found Christ, and he wrote this book about being successful and finally finding Jesus. And he said, you can be as successful as you want. He said, when I was doing my TV show, Family Feud, and these other shows, he said, I had all these people around me. And he said, but I was the face. I was the one that everyone saw as a leader. I was on the TV screen. I was the one that was in front of everyone. And he said, but the ones behind the scenes, the ones all around me that I leaned on every single moment to get the perfect shot, to get the angle, to write my script, to have the teleprompter, he said, without them, I am nothing. And he said, collectively as a team, we put all of our strengths together and we became a successful program. And so, we think about this, about leaning on one another. If we are not careful, we can become prideful in the way that we act and the way that we speak. It's easy to become addicted to the power and authority attached with being a leader. It's easy to do that. When you have authority and you have power and you have that leadership role, it is easy to become addicted to the power and having the attitude of, like I said, I have all the answers, when really we don't. Number three this morning, flexibility. Notice Philippians chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. He says, I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or whether it's empty, with plenty or with little. For I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. It can be easy to get stuck in routines, which we have always done these. Let me read that better. It can be easy to get stuck in routines with one set way of doing things. That's right. I was walking into an office, and it was my dad's office, and he has a saying behind his office desk. He says, the most expensive words in the vocabulary is we have always done things this way. What is that? What's the point of that? The point of that is saying, you know what, we don't have all the answers again. And number two, be open and be flexible with different ideas. Maybe we've always done things a certain way, but new ways come in. I remember when they asked me to start sitting into these board meetings when I was younger. And I remember in my father's company, I remember that we would sit in these meetings and they would have these talks about how are we going to reach, you know, they had different divisions and how are we going to have everyone communicate together. And I remember saying, well, they got these, back then it was Skype, I think, you know, Skype calls, and we have this and that and this technology, we can put a TV screen here. And you know, no, you know, that was a no-no because it was new. It was different. And then, of course, we transitioned into different things, and someone brought in a different technology and a new technology and a new technology. And before you know it, everything's ran with all this technology, different than it was ran 20 years ago. And in the church, let me be clear when I say this. When I'm talking about being flexible, I am not referring to doing things unscriptural or changing the way that the church operates because of being unscriptural by no means. But just being open to new ideas. How can we grow? How can we benefit the community? How can we be with those around us? And so to think about a true servant leader, it has to be flexible in their mind and thought on how can we do well to others. Being a servant leader's ability to recognize change for what it is, an opportunity for growth and faith, will help likely lead others to Christ as well. Number, this one, resilience. I lost track of what number I'm on. I think this is 4. Resilience. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by a so great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance, have that resilience, the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Life will always be full of challenges, fights that we cannot win, mountains that we cannot climb, dark valleys with no visible way out. Servant leaders recognize that struggles are real. Life is difficult, and God is in control. Church, let me stop for a minute. Let me say this, please. I've never been through a global pandemic before. And our leaders here at Highland Heights have never been through a global pandemic before. But I will say this, that I am so proud of our deacons and our elders for the way that they've handled this situation and helping us get back to a sense of normalcy. It's not easy. I can't imagine going through that. But a real servant leader has a resilience in the thought process of saying, you know what, things are not just always going to happen the way that we want it to happen. No one saw what 2020 brought. No one saw this happen. No one could expect, hey, we're going to prepare for this. But to handle the changes and to handle the flow of the motion and to go along with the river, so to speak, the way the education changed and get us back up and running and all the other things, man, it's just, in my eyes, looking from the outside in, I just want to say how proud I am just to say that I think that we did that. These men did a great job. Servant leaders recognize that struggles are real and life is difficult, but God is in control. And they remember, you know what, this isn't the way that we want it to be. We don't really understand where it's going to go, which way it's going to take us, but I will say this, that God is in control at the end of the day. Stewardship. This is number 5. 1 Peter 4 and verse number 10. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as God's good stewards of God's very grace. So we understand that as a true servant leader, we can look at others' talents and gifts, and we can look at our talents and gifts and use them for God's glory and for not our own. A servant leader sees people as valuable to God and stewards of their time and talents well. A servant leader uses their time for God's glory and for not their own. Last this morning, empathy. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 15. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who are weep. In order to be a true servant leader, that one of the 6 qualities, in my opinion, is empathy. To be able to relate with those around you, what they're going through, how they're overcoming that. Empathy for a servant leader is simply being able to visualize yourself in someone else's position. And it helps you understand what else someone else is feeling. You know what? I've never been through certain things that in my life that you've been through. And you haven't been through certain things that I've been through. When I was going through training, they said ministry training at the school, they said when it came to the funerals, right, and they came to the funeral service, they said, whether you're speaking at it or not, they said, it doesn't matter, you know, don't say nothing, just be there, is what they taught us. They said, just be there. You don't have to, no one's going to remember what you said, no one's going to remember, you know, what you wore, nothing like that. They said, just be there. Just be a presence. And sometimes when I think of that and I think of how, you know, I have a hard time having empathy when I don't understand what someone is going through, but sometimes I just need to be there. Just need to sit there and say, hey, I'm with you. Or if someone gets happy, I'm going to be happy with them. I'm going to smile with them. I'm going to congratulate them. I'm going to be thankful for them. God be the glory. Not be jealous, not be upset about it, but I'm going to be rejoicing with them when they rejoice and weeping with them that weep. Empathy is a key aspect here in leadership. A servant leader can see people through the eyes of Jesus, and that's the kind of leader that others will want to follow. You know, you look at Jesus and you think, you know, Jesus, the Bible says that he came down and he went through things that we went through, but truth be told, he didn't go through everything that everyone else went through, just like we didn't go through everything that he went through. But Jesus could relate. And he could see through his eyes. He understood. And he could get down and relate to those that were going through certain things. And by doing that, and by being the kind of person that he was these 6 characteristics. He had the humble, he was a steward, he had empathy, he had all these things. And people saw that. And he was the kind of man that people wanted to follow. Did everyone follow him? No. But he was the kind of man that said, I can see you for what you're worth. I can see that you were created special. I can rejoice with you and I can weep with you. In closing this morning, when we look at our lives and we think of how to be a true servant leader, this isn't applying just to men or males, but this is for men and women both. This is one of them topics that we look at and we think, you know what, I want to be a leader. I want to be a servant. I want to serve others better. I want to have a second mentality. I want to have a I am second mentality in my life. In the church, I want to have a better servant attitude. In the workplace, I want to have a better servant attitude. I want to be second. I want to be able to serve those around us. I want them to be able to see Jesus in my life. I haven't done that. And I just want to ask for forgiveness on these things. Jesus says, you know what? Come on to me. Matthew chapter 10, he says, come to me. All of you who are weary and who are heavy laden, I'm going to give you that rest. Sometimes in life, we walk through this life and we have this weight on our shoulders because we're carrying things around that we don't need to be carrying. Jesus says, come unto me and lay it on my shoulders. I'm going to give you that rest. This morning, you may be here and just have fault in your life. You have sin that you want to ask for prayers about. We want to pray for you about that. Maybe you're here and you haven't been baptized into Christ. You haven't put Christ down in baptism and you haven't washed your sins away and walked out of here a new creature. We want to help you with that. I was talking to someone the other day. We were talking about baptism. And he said, why is it that so many people don't accept the Lord's invitation? It's so easy. We were talking back and forth. And we came up with this idea, and this isn't nothing, you know, profound or nothing, but we said, you know what, I think that people are just too comfortable with waking up in the morning. Just too comfortable waking up in the morning. We hear the Lord's invitation, we hear what God wants us to do, and we let that invitation go on. And we let the things in our life just continue to go on, because that's what we're used to. Until one morning we don't wake up. Then it's too late. When we had a chance, we could have done it. When Jesus says, what is your life? James chapter 4. He says, what is your life? Where are you at right now? For you are a vapor that appears here for a short time and then you vanish away. What's he saying? You don't know. I don't know. But the invitation is open right now. And if you need to respond or if you need to be baptized, do it now before it's too late. As together we stand and while we sing.